Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everyone. So glad to have you along listening. You're entitled to some great conversations about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. They're coming your way today. In fact, that nice intro that you just heard, that is voiced by Zach Dresch. He is a local comedian, very funny guy, and a very all-around busy entertainer. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. Later on in the show, we're going to learn all about aerial performing. It's elegant to watch. From Circa Perform, we'll be speaking with Kayla Matthew and Katie Herman. But first...
time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
And our toast, raise them high, whatever you're toasting with, whatever you're drinking in that toast. Yeah, put them up there and let's toast to paying it forward. In the past, I have done that by going through a drive-thru and, you know, paid for the person behind me. Well, last week, somebody paid it forward to me. What a fun way to start a day. I had taken Carrie to work, and on the way back, before I had to start work myself at the work-from-home ranch, and I decided to grab a McMuffin, so now you know which drive-thru it was, and all of a sudden I get up there, and I was so shocked when they told me that somebody had paid for it beforehand that I forgot to do it for the person behind me then, but it was a great thing. So the next time I'm going through a drive-thru, I will have to do that once again. It is a fun thing to do, and it's also a fun thing to receive, just to know that people are out there, and they are good. All right? Let's keep that in mind with all the stuff and the strife that goes on in the world. Let's just keep in our minds that the vast majority of people are still good people. So, to paying it forward. And the Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. Now, they're some good people, because you know what they do? They're going to let you determine, out of all the breweries in Sioux Falls, as well as Glacial Lakes Distillery, or maybe on a Wednesday, do the new Wine Wednesday bit. They take care of the driving. They take you around. It's a cool van, sits up to six. Now, you can book a private tour online at alehopbrewerytours.com. That is alehopbrewerytours.com. Yes, the tours is a plural. Now, if you're already out and about on a weekend, hop on one of their public tours. For more info, call 605-777-2183. That's 605-777-2183. You know, some of the people that have been on it have been talking and raving about it, and this is one of my favorite. I would recommend this tour to anyone, beer lover or not. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews.
Honorable mention.
Each week we like to salute something that put a smile on my face, made me laugh, made me guffaw. In this case, I didn't get to see it, but social media is showing it all thanks to StoryBuilt and my friend Colin McKenzie from CMAC Productions. He is part of StoryBuilt. You recall that Colin and Steve Rausch from StoryBuilt were on the show a few weeks ago talking about a world premiere on the 22nd of February in Las Vegas. That's right. They did that two thing. the Tuesday 2-2-2-2-2. And it looks like they, A, had a great time, and B, that it was well attended. So, congratulations, our friends from Storybuilt, on a world premiere of Vertical Freedom. It's a documentary. And that took place at Caesars in Las Vegas. How cool is that, huh? Speaking of vertical, later in the show, we learn all about the art of aerial performing with Circa Perform's Kayla Matthew and Katie Herman. Coming up next, we talk comedy and so much more with local entertainer Zach Dresch.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, I'm not, my hand won't follow it.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
He's just the eyeballs. Once again, here is Dave Holley.
Welcome back, everybody. It's always a pleasure. Yeah, I do say it every damned interview. I really do. It's always a pleasure to talk to people, the creators that are in the Sioux Empire, making your life more cultural. Whether it's with comedy, whether it's with music, whether it's with a little song and dance, you know, who knows what it might be, or it might even be a flu bug. Although, have we had a flu bug this year?
Not this year.
We no. have not. I didn't think so, yeah.
I think it was because COVID was just too rough, and they're like, I suppose. We need to lay low on this.
Yeah, tone it down a little bit there, Captain.
Yeah.
Zach Dresch, my good friend, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Dave. How are you?
If I were any better, I'd be twins.
There
but
you
I'm
go.
Also better anytime I see you.
Likewise,
you
my
were
friend.
Waiting for that part.
Yep.
I knew you were. But I thought I'd throw a little wrench in the monkey there.
Of course.
But you know what really made me feel good?
What's that?
Was the fact that, you know, just a while back, I got to be on stage with you again.
That was a blast.
That was, yes. You had come by as a guest after being an original member of Midtown Coffee Radio Hour.
Yes.
So we had you on as a guest comedian, and thank you so much for doing that, but also just, you know, always fun to hang with you and so forth, and we do that from time to time, and if not, at least I come and watch you perform.
All right, that Midtown show was a wonderful episode.
That
you guys
was.
Did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Thank Absolutely. You. Yeah, we were trying to decide, it was whether, like, was that one better, or was the Christmas one? But, you know, Christmas is more of the heartfelt thing, so then yeah. you take a look at it and go, the last one. Yeah, there was something special there. So we
Valentine's is like heartfelt mixed with humor.
True.
Better. It's better.
Right.
To make. Christmas, it's hard to make jokes about.
Yeah.
It's just like, except, oh, I hate Christmas music. That's the only joke I can think of.
All righty. So Zach is a comic. We're going to talk to him about how that is all going. But, oh, you just might be the busiest person in showbiz in the Sioux Empire.
Possibly.
Yeah, because let's see. So as I mentioned, you had just filled in on that. You just had Improv Falls.
Yeah.
This past week, and that was amazing.
Yeah, and Michael Sorensen adds so much.
Yeah, you know, having some music to it now, and
yeah.
You know, he's so quick on everything. You know, he's the improv music.
Yeah.
But also,
Debbie, Emily, Chris, and Bill all just crushed it. It was amazing. So they are. Champions upon champions.
Yeah, top notch with everything.
And without just a doubt.
A blast. And then, of course, the ending. You guys had done some long form, your first time doing long form improv after the games.
Yeah, we've been practicing it for a while. We were going to do it for our Christmas show, but then that was the one day that the weather decided, let's blow a foot of snow out. So we canceled our show because we just didn't think it was safe. So we just had to bow out. We tried to reschedule it, but just nothing worked.
Right.
So
I recall that. Yeah.
So we decided, how can we make this show different since the Christmas show kind of had to go by the wayside? And Michael had kind of met Bill in a perchance meeting at Icon one night after Bill and I and everyone else had just done doing an improv show. And Michael was at the bar and goes, oh, I just started reading about Laura Hall, the piano player from Whose Line. She has a book out about musical improv. So I started reading that and Bill's like, me too. And so there was this whole thing. I'm probably butchering how they met, but it was just a happenstance that worked out perfectly because Michael and I have done improv together with Dueling Pianos for a couple of years now. So it just worked out that way. Michael and I are still doing Dueling Piano shows. We've got a lot booked on the schedule as far as private parties go coming up here.
Excellent.
Hopefully some public ones coming up too. But, Yeah. Michael just flows so well with us. He's game for anything, and he makes it so fun.
No doubt about that. And then also, your band, The Disarmed.
Yes.
Has been pretty active of late.
Yeah, we have
a new album?
Yep, new album coming out this summer. We don't have a certain date yet, but we're looking at vinyl and CD coming out this summer. If not...
Vinyl too, huh?
Yeah. If vinyl can't quite get finalized, we'll at least have the CDs. Vinyl will have a pre-order ready. But we're working pretty hard on the album's done being recorded. We just have to get it mixed and mastered and all that stuff. And then we'll be ready to go and hit the ground running this summer. I think we'll have a single out later this spring is what we're looking at. So,
all right. And then this past Thursday night before Improv Falls on Friday night, Late Night Boomin'.
Yeah.
Episode 3.
Yep. Episode 3. We had Jimmy Weber on the show, as well as Travis Nye, a good friend of ours. And Jimmy, I had never met before, but he knows Chuck Case.
Okay.
And
from
Jimmy,
the Boomers.
Yes. Yeah. From Chuck Case and Late Night Boomers. Chuck and Jimmy played for John Denver back in the early 90s.
Yeah. I remember when I had Chuck on, he was talking about having played for John Denver. So some cool stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the rest of the Boomers are pretty ding dang good themselves.
Oh, yeah. You got you know, Jesse Rubin. All those guys are fantastic. So. Yep, Joe, and they're all wizards at what they do.
Yeah, it's great. So you've got a great band in that, and you've been having fun with the skits and so forth. Now, how much of the writing do you sit in on that?
Most of it. Okay. When we usually meet once a week on Sundays, typically. I make most of them. Sometimes I can't because, obviously, things happen. But most of the time, Jack is like one of the most driven people I've ever met in my life. He'll come in like, hey guys, here's my impression of Jack. Hey guys, here's what we're going to do. Okay. We've got, all right. We're going to do a sports game. Okay. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. He's probably thinking of Midwesterning the hell out of him right now, but like, hey, all right. You guys cool with this? We're going to do this. Okay. I'm just like, okay, fine. Jack's the kind of the guy that like sets the stuff up and then I just goof around and that's just my role on the show. And that's the only role I've ever wanted in a talk show. I like hosting. That's super fun.
But you get labeled as a co-host in this. So that's pretty fun. You know, you can put that on your credit.
Yeah. Like an Andy Richter kind of thing. Just chime in with the jokes here and there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. In fact, the first night, and I was part of that first night.
Yes. Yeah.
And seeing that, that's exactly who I thought of for the two of you.
Right.
Was Conan and Andy.
Yeah, because Conan is my favorite talk show host. And I think Jack is more of a Fallon fan. Not disrespecting True. Fallon. I still like Fallon. But Conan is more of the writer and like his writing is so brilliant. And so I think mixing Conan and Fallon together is what my ideal talk show would be. And I think I'm kind of hitting the Andy Richter Conan vibe and
very
and
much so.
The Fallon vibe. So, we're mixing them.
And it's great. And in fact, you pulled off one of the, you know, it's ironic. You had Travis Nye, a very talented magician.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because you and Jack actually pulled off one of the biggest magic tricks that's ever taken place in people trying to get publicity.
What's that?
You got Don Jorgensen to do an interview with you guys.
Have you had Don on your podcast yet?
I have not.
Okay. He talks like very intensely about happy things. The way he's like, tell me about Late Night Boomin'. Like, that's kind of how he... No, how did it come about? Did you have a meeting or what did you have? Tell me all about it. It was fun.
Oh, my. Love it.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He is.
And, you know, boy, he went through a tough patch a while back with an accident. And, he and I happened to be in the same book.
Oh, there you go.
Journeys of Life, Volume 2.
Oh, nice. Yes. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, there you go. But yeah, he looked great. And
oh, he always does, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was wearing a really nice fancy suit talking to us, and he wasn't even on camera for the interview, like, but yeah, he was still wearing a fancy suit and all that stuff. And yeah, that was wild.
You know, trust me, that's pulling off something big.
Yeah.
When you get that clout, that has to be helping you. Was it a packed house? I didn't get to go to Thursday night. I wasn't feeling all that tip-top.
Oh, I heard about that. Are you doing better?
Yes, mucho.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had a good crowd. It was about the same as the second episode. And second were kind of the same. Not sold out, but it was still like huge crowd, and they really enjoyed themselves. We were getting a lot more press. I think we're going to be doing an interview with the Argus coming up here and all this stuff. So it's like,
you're going to cause me to have a heart attack.
I know.
Wow.
But yeah, we had a wonderful crowd. It was super fun. And I can't wait to see what else we do next. My goal for this show is to just kind of get as many talented people that I know on the show as possible. That includes comics, musicians, mm-hmm. entertainers, interviewers such as yourself, even more so, not just playing Santa, but yeah, like exactly. yourself.
Yeah. Dave, what else do you do? Huh?
Everything.
Yeah.
You're the second busiest guy in the Sioux Empire.
One of them. Yeah.
One of them. Yeah. we're pretty neck and neck.
That we are.
Yes. But yeah, that's my goal. Like I already have plans. Like, okay, we're going to have Reed Baxter on the show the next episode.
We've got I just booked Reed today.
There you go.
Yes. He's going to be on next month.
Reed's so funny.
That he is.
He's one of the funniest guys. Like, and one of the sweetest guys too.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to be our first comic. That was Jamie was our first comic on the second episode.
Right.
But Reed's kind of, he's been playing so many roles in little shorts that we've been doing for Late Night Boom, and that we're like, we got to have you on as yourself doing stand up. And I think we've got Chris Fryer in the works, Luke Johnson, Ian Ryland Smith, all these comics. Like we have,
right.
That's a great thing about being a part of this comedy scene is because we've got so many great comics. So
no doubt about that. And of course, coming off the heels of a very successful festival, too.
Yeah, that was so much fun, too.
Wow, that was a great time. And it was just so fun to see not just the fact that we had so many people in town for it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of comics from across the nation that were here. And also the fact that there were so many local people that showed up for it, too. And that just about everything you went to had a great crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, you know, pretty great to be able to see that and to get the feel for it too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you go, oh yeah, we've got a comedy festival in town, and people kind of go, oh yeah. Okay. So what about it? But, you know, it went very well. I thought all of the, you know, workshop type things you could take in and so forth were great.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
And then even, you know, some guy that came off the bench and did his, I'm so old bit, you know, in the, yeah,
you did great at that at that show at the mic at the Spellbound.
Thank you. That was fun. Yeah, that was a good time. But let's continue talking about the comedy then. I know Late Night Boomin' is such a big part of that as well. But you, for the most part, would you, if you had to rank all the things you do, would it be comedy at top?
Or yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
The thing that I think encompasses everything that I do is dueling pianos, because it's improv, music, and comedy all in one. So that one I have a blast with. I have a blast with all of them. It's hard to rank all of them because a lot of them are just my babies or my things that I'm involved with. It's hard to, I guess the one that's consistently stayed the entire time is stand-up. Because even when bands were taking breaks, I was always doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. When this was taking a break, I was always doing stand-up. Like, when Dueling Pianos took a break because of COVID, I was doing stand-up, even when we probably shouldn't have been. It was unsafe, maybe.
Or,
I don't know.
Or doing it virtually, the digital show, and so forth.
Yeah. And so I think stand-up has always been my constant, especially since when I graduated college. Like, you're on this sky-high, like, senior year, like, yeah, we're crushing it. We're doing all these things. And then you graduate, and then you're like, well, what the hell do I do now?
Yeah.
Stand-up was the only form of entertainment that I had to keep me going that wasn't a play at a community theater, that kind of thing, which I love doing. That's really fun. But with my schedule at Hy-Vee at the time, I couldn't really make anything work except open mics because it was flexible more. Like, oh, it's not the end of the world if I miss an open mic. So, but I always made it sure to go to as many of them as I possibly could.
And a little easier to get, you know, a couple hours off on one night of the week versus
four or five.
Three or, yeah.
Yeah. Cause like you're lucky if you get a Sunday off into play.
Exactly.
Kind of thing,
yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, we're just talking rehearsals and then you get down to the actual performance times. Whew.
Yeah. And
that
now,
would take
now
away a lot.
Right. And now that I'm have a job where I work 8 to 5, typically most of the time, I actually get to participate in things like Goodnight Theater. Now I'm playing drums in their next cabaret, so I'm adding more onto my plate. So, but this one I'm really excited about. It's the Binge-Worthy Cabaret, so it's TV themes for an entire night, and I'm really excited about that too.
Excellent, looking forward to that. In the meantime, as you were talking about, you know, possibly the stage again and so forth,
right,
is the fact that if I recall, because okay, I'm going to play into this a little bit. My memory's not all that good.
Oh, mine neither.
Oh, I thought you were the one that had the photographic memory.
That's the only side of my memory that works. Like memory sometimes.
Memorizing lines and lyrics, yeah, and things like that.
Thanks to social media, I know people's names better. If we didn't have social media, I'd be screwed. Like, hey, Jimbo.
Oh, yeah. Guy in the red hat.
Yeah, because sometimes like I make sure like to embed that person's name in my brain when I see their face, like if they add me on social media, because sometimes they hit you up and like, hey, I got this thing going on. Do you want to join it? Do you want to perform in this thing? I'm like, I got 5 million other things. Like, I'm honored. Don't get me wrong, but I've got to kind of, now I'm at this tricky point in my life where I have to pick and choose what I think is worth my time. And it's a good problem to have. But it's like, I hate saying no to people. I'm a people pleaser. That's my problem. So it's a tricky situation.
Fully understand that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the comedy then.
Yeah.
How has it been going for you?
Good. I've been writing cleaner material because I have a lot of opportunities where I need to be clean.
Right.
Because Late Night Boom, and I open each show with stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be clean because we're shooting it for, now we're shooting it for television. So I have to be cleaner. And can't say the cuss words.
Yeah, not just YouTube.
Yeah, not just YouTube. Now it's, we're figuring out where it's going to air and stuff right now, but we've got all the sponsorships locked down now. So that's an update. So we're doing 13 episodes and sponsorships all locked down. We're just not sure where it's going to air yet, but we're figuring that out. So now I got to be ultra clean. And I figure that'll benefit me because that way I can get cleaner gigs with doing stand-up, and you make a lot more money doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the corporate gigs especially.
Yeah, correct. At that workshop we were at, it's no doubt. They were talking about how it's like you make so much more if you're a clean, reliable comic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, snap, I got to figure that out.
Got to be starting work on that.
Yeah, right now. Shoot.
What about the fact that Bosses is now in T?
Yeah.
And that seems to be going great guns at this point.
I like it a lot better than the Ramada.
Yeah. To me, I think the first thing that I felt was I walked into it and go, oh, it's a comedy club.
Yeah.
Versus, oh,
it's a banquet hall.
They took a banquet hall, put up a curtain and a pipe behind it and so forth and a little stage. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. It's more exclusive, and I like it a lot better.
Has that feel to it, yeah.
Yeah, and also we've got the benefit of the small town crowd in T doesn't have a lot going on, and so when anything's coming up, they're there for it. The proof is in the pudding. The last couple months, we sold out nearly every show that's been going on. Even a show that we didn't expect to sell out, like our best comic of the year, we expected like 30, 40, like being honest, like, and we got 130 people showing up.
Excellent.
So it was nuts. Yeah. Sean Jordan's going to be in town next weekend. So that's, or this weekend, actually, whenever this airs, February 25th.
This comes out. Yeah.
There you go.
This comes out on Thursday.
So yeah, he will be in town 2 days from now. If you're listening to this on Thursday,
by the way, who won the comedian of the year?
Nathan Hultz, because he is the
Nathan
funniest.
Hultz.
Yeah. Like, I've learned everything I know from him, and he is, if I had to, he'd be number one.
Yeah.
If I just had to, if I was competitive, I usually say everyone's great, and they are.
And they are. No
doubt
about
Nathan that. Nathan isn't cut above, in my opinion.
Well, and you know, and I equate Nathan along with you, that sometimes people are just funny.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people that get into comedy, they become funny, they write great material, and they learn, and they become a good comic.
Yeah.
But some people are just funny. You're in that group. Nathan Hultz is in that group.
Thank you.
Where, you know, as soon as they take the stage, there's this instantaneous connection with the audience, and everybody goes, whoa, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
It's like our own magic trick.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Nathan, he has the advantage. He's been doing it 12 years, and we've all been doing it. I've done it 7 or 8 now, and a lot of the comics that have been grinding hard have been doing it 4 or 5. So it's kind of like, it's such a different, like, Nathan's up here. We call him the godfather of the scene. He hates that because he just associates it with, I assume, Marlon Brando and oldness or something. I don't know. Like, he's only 34, I think.
Yeah.
A hard 34.
Oh, wow.
He says it in his set. I can't.
Yeah, true.
I'm not giving him crap.
But it just seems like the comedy scene in the Sioux Empire just continues to grow and grow.
Oh, yeah.
And so what do you think is next for it?
I think cross promotion right now with Late Night Boomin' getting more comics on this show. I hope that can help blossom the comedy scene even more. That's my goal, is to help push awareness of all the comics out there even more. That's my goal right now. A lot of the comics are starting to tour now, go out of town, do shows, because they've got Skylar and Luke under their wing telling them, here's how you do it. And Nathan, too. Like, they're all saying, hey, here's how we do it. Here's how you make your time worth it going to this place in Nebraska or Iowa or what have you. And just, that's kind of how I like to help out. I'm not great at, I need to figure out booking stuff better in my eyes. But, I mean, I'm already doing so much that it's kind of hard to focus.
I can imagine so, because it's not like you have to look for work.
Yeah.
You have things coming in all the time, no matter whether it's comedy, whether it's, working along a Goodnight Theater,
right?
What have you. The opportunities for you to be out and about are there already.
Yeah, I'm very blessed for that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even, in fact, the second night of the Goodnight Theater musical, I am going to be DJing at Emo Night at Icon, but also their drummer just broke his leg. And they're playing emo covers, and they need a drummer. And so they have me playing drums for that because their drummer had to drop out. And so now I've got that on my plate. Thankfully, it's going to be songs I know by heart. But still, it's like, wow, okay, I'm honored. Like, all right, let's get this train rolling.
In terms of your comedy, how do you feel that you've grown in those 7 or 8 years you've been doing it?
I've learned the process of how to write a good joke better. That's kind of been the bottom line for me, is like, delivery is key. And I think that's the main thing for me. And stand on stage and act like you own it. That's basically the trick. Open mics, I get why comics do this. Like, we've talked about this before, how they always bring their notebook up and they look at their notebook for like 5 minutes. I'm like, you got to act like you're playing at Madison Square Garden. It's like, I always try to make it look like I have this down pat. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But that's why it's an open mic.
Right.
You got to treat it like it's a show.
Exactly. You've got to have a stand pat 5 to 7 minutes that you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you don't know it, you've recited it at home. You're getting it ready.
Even if you just came up with it on the drive down to the show.
Yeah.
Still pretend, as you say, like you own that stage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get why people do it, but it's also one of those things. I think sometimes they do it just because, oh, I didn't have time, which I get. I mean, I get it, but I'm always trying to put on a show at the open mic no matter what.
And well, you should. So what do you think is in the future for you then, comedy-wise? I know we've talked in the past, and because, you know, not just having you on the show, but you are a very good friend, so we talk often regardless.
Yes, yeah.
And I know that your dream, obviously, is to be a full-time comic, but would full-time entertainer cover that?
Yeah, my ultimate dream job is Saturday Night Live. Like,
there you go.
I would love to be a cast member on that show.
Yeah.
Sketch actor, that's kind of an ideal. Like, I'd love to incorporate comedy, like stand-up and stuff. But, like, being a full-time touring stand-up comic is not my dream job. It's something I'd like to do in spurts, but I wouldn't want to just do that year-round. I'd get bored. I like to do different things, and that's what keeps me entertained. Like, I feel like if I just did one thing, I'd get bored. That's why I'm like, oh, SNL seems like a venue that would cause me to do a bunch of different things instead of just one. So,
And the fact that you mentioned it earlier with Michael Sorensen, the dual purpose show.
Yeah.
We should let people know that aren't very familiar with you is that you're not one of the pianists on that.
No, I'm
the drummer.
Yep, I'm the drummer. I've got drummer envy.
nice sticks.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's Michael Sorensen and Pierce Hoffman, and then myself playing drums, and I help with comic banter between songs. And we've got Adam Rye helping us out with sound and lights, and he's amazing too.
That
so
he is.
All yeah. of us, we've got just a really great crew with us.
That's fantastic. And, you know, so I can see that that in itself would also be something if you did someday say, hey, Lauren Michaels, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's everything on my resume. Give me a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm working on different impressions that nobody does. I got to figure out. That's the trick.
You know what the trick is for me?
What's that?
Age. Seriously, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And I tell people this because one time somebody said, how come in your show you do all these imitations of dead people? I said, because there's really not any John Waynes in the world anymore.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, because, you know, you had this... let's say there were 100 great entertainers when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Add at least 10 on that now, maybe 2.
Yeah.
And so you don't have that influx of seeing one entertainer in 100 things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there might be one person and you try to pick up on their voice, but then you also have to play that percentage-wise of, well, are they even relevant?
Right.
You know, even though it's a young thing.
For sure.
You've got a younger star that you're working on the voice of. But, you know, they're not like 50% of all the movies that come out and so yeah. forth anymore.
Yeah. yeah. So and you got to figure out the impressions that not everyone's doing. Like you said, John Wayne, no one's doing yeah. that anymore. One that I noticed that people aren't doing as much. Everyone does Christopher Walken. Everyone always does Seinfeld. Right. Michael Keaton is one that doesn't get touched that often, which I love
Michael
to do.
Michael Keaton.
Oh, like either as Beetlejuice or regular Michael Keaton. Regular Michael Keaton.
Regular Michael Keaton.
Right, so I was walking down the street, right, and I was like two streets down, and I was like I was getting a little frantic, and Jefferson Airplane was on the plane with me, and I was sitting there, and I was just like, okay, here we go. And then Beetlejuice
yeah.
is a, we're like two peas in a pod. Come on, what are we talking about? God, come on. Nah. You bunch of losers.
You know what? If I'm not mistaken, hang on. Let's get this on here. Oh, other one, David. All right. Give me just a little bit of that again.
We're like two peas in a pod here. Come on.
Got it. Finally. Pushed about 80,000 buttons.
Well, thank you. I got to think of more impersonations that people are not really doing. I've been watching a lot of Dana Carvey doing his impersonations. I love what he does because he doesn't do a dead-on impression. He extends it.
Right. Yeah. And well, in fact, one of the things that I always said is I don't do impersonations. I do impressions because right. you can be off.
Yeah,
you don't have to be 100% on an impression.
Yeah.
It's more of a characterization, you know, kind of like a vocal caricature that you're actually yeah. doing. And I've always loved doing that. In fact, my first one, let's see, third grade. So I would have been, what, about 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
was of W.C. Fields.
Mm.
Ah, yes, I went to Philadelphia once, but it was closed. My little chickadees.
It's great. I like that's yeah. great.
And I'll make this one acceptable, but that I found out years later that he was also quoted as saying, you know, because he was a huge alcoholic. I used to drink water till I found out that fish have sex in it. He didn't use have sex.
Bill Hader does a lot of old school impressions.
Yes,
too.
He does.
George Mason.
Yep.
Like, I see. Yeah. Like, how much for the donuts?
Or what about Jackie Mason?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Jackie Mason, chicken soup for the soul. No, I make chicken soup. I just like chicken soup because I'm Jackie Mason, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dana Carvey, like his George H.W. Bush, like he never said, not gonna die.
Right. But it's just awesome the way. Have you seen that the special where he does all of them and moves from one to one?
Yeah,
one of the next, and explains how the voice went from this to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved that.
There's a newer guy on SNL that does the best Trump impression I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
Everyone else is more of just like what they expect Trump to sound like.
And more of the mannerisms and so forth since it's on TV.
Yeah, but this guy does him to a T. Like, he combines the old Trump, which is, oh, I really just love you, Marla Maples. I really love what you got. And then mixes it with his older, groggy voice now. Like, we're going to take care of the pirates. We're going to take care of them. We're going to take care of them. I understand what you're trying to say. All right, give me a second. Like, so he's combining both of that just brilliantly. He's not doing the, like Alec Baldwin does kind of thing.
Right, and, yeah. First impression you did.
First impression that I did?
Whose voice?
I feel like it was probably Ace Ventura.
Okay.
Like anything Jim Carrey did back in the day, the 90s. True. Jim Carrey. That's I was all about impersonating that.
And the one you really want to do?
Oh, that's a good question.
See, today it took 28 minutes for me to get to a good question.
Oh, there's some that I get asked, like sometimes you get challenged by it, you do it on stage and you're not happy about it. Like Improv Falls when we do Dating Game, it's like, give me a celebrity. We did Nicolas Cage last week, which was fine, but I wanted to challenge myself a little more. Like, I'm trying to think of legendary actors that I feel, Michael Douglas, you know, here's how this is going to go. You're going to sit down, you're going to listen to me. Like, it's kind of like Michael Douglas doesn't get a lot of impersonations.
No, he doesn't.
Tommy Lee Jones doesn't get a lot of impersonations either. Like Jimmy Fallon, I think, did him once. We're like,
right. Yeah.
Like, there's a fugitive on the loose. He is dangerous. The name of this villain is Dieter Guttboots. Like, the name of his dogs are Snatching Foo Foo. Like, all this stuff. Like,
oh, my. All right. My dear friend, it is always, like I say, such a pleasure.
Likewise.
Great to see you. Great to have you on the show again. And for those of you that are unaware, that opening that said, you know, Big D Entertainment, and blah, 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 and the lists all the sponsors and so forth. Okay, a few Jack Daniels. That is Zach. And then he's coming up at the end of the show, too. All right.
I'll be back.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it, my friend.
Love you, Dave.
Love you, too, buddy. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
He's a bit flirtatious, but most of all, fun. Here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for all the listenership that you have, all the sharing you do on the social medias and so forth. The likes to the Dave Holly Hour Facebook page, it means so much to me. Now to that part where I am the broken record, because you know what I say, it's always a pleasure to bring you not only great talent, great creators, but new ones as well. And today, we get that for you. Circa Perform has just formed recently, but the two ladies that own it are Kayla and Katie. And they are here to talk about what Circa Perform is, and I can't wait to discuss this. It's going to be great. So first of all, ladies, welcome. Great to have you along.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having us.
And it's just a pleasure for me because I've always loved Ariel. And for those that don't know what in the world I'm speaking of right now, if you go to a circus and you've seen the lions, you've seen the tigers, the clowns, you've got the trapeze and so forth. But when you see that elegant act where they're up at the top and then they start to come down basically on what you think is like a curtain, that would be the aerials. And these two ladies have been doing aerial for a while, but finally formed a company. And so, Kayla, first of all, How long have you been doing aerials?
I've been doing aerial silks for about 4.5 years.
All right. What got you into it?
Honestly, it was pretty random. I had an injured knee, and my physician told me that I had really weak muscles in my knee, and I really needed to go get a workout program. I hate the gym. Hate it. So I was looking for something just a little bit different, and I really just stumbled across it. I took my first class and wasn't a huge fan, honestly. It was hard. It was a little more than what I was expecting, but I had bought a 10-class pass. So, by golly, I was going to get my money worth.
Right.
By about class 5, I fell in love.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. And so then for you, Katie, what got you into this?
Yeah, so I was a gymnast my entire life, so I
kind of a natural then.
Yeah, you could say that. Kayla might not like that. But yeah, so I competed in gymnastics in college, and then I moved to Sioux Falls in 2017. So I've been doing this about 4.5 years, really looking for a community in town of people who had similar interests to me. Yeah. And I had a lot of friends who I saw on social media doing aerial arts, and I'd always wanted to try it, and I stumbled across it too when I was in town and kind of found my community, found my people, and just found something that I really enjoy doing.
So are you two in classes together at all, or is it separate situations?
No, so we train together, but we're not necessarily in classes at this point. We're the two lead instructors at 605 Ninja in town. Mm-hmm. So we really run the program, both kids and adult classes, and then do a lot of professional training as well, going to gyms across the country to train. So we've been to Vegas training with Cirque du Soleil professionals.
Adore Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of fun with that. But yeah, we've been doing a lot of online training as well, trying to expand our programs here in town.
Yeah, excellent. So at the 605 Ninja, let's talk a little bit about the classes first then, since we're at that point. And so you said children and adults. Yes. So what are we age range-wise?
Children, we start at about 8 years old. I do train my daughter as well, who's 5, but she's a special circus dance.
She's got some ties, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. And then how long of a class are we talking about and so forth?
50 minutes. Okay. Each class, and we do our warm-ups in that time, conditioning, and then we teach skills.
So what height do you start off with at that age then, with a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old?
The ground.
Okay.
We start on the ground and do things in a knot, and we start building muscles at that point and building strength, building confidence. And then as they start to grow and get more confident and get more strength, then they start to get better and start climbing, and then we do things, more things in the air.
Is it somewhat like the theory that they have, you know, when you go to a SeaWorld and you see the whale jump through the hoop that's 20 feet in the air, that they actually started off underwater to just get it to go over something, and then they keep increasing?
Yeah, and exactly,
that's
like that.
A philosophy that works for that then. Excellent.
Yeah.
So what about adults? At what age is most common that the people are getting into this?
Oh, man, it's really all over the place. I mean, we have people who are in their 20s, 30s. We've had people in their 60s and 70s do classes before.
Wow.
So it's really just dependent on who enjoys it, but it's really accessible, and it's low impact, too. So people who have done a lot of running, or former gymnasts like myself who don't want to keep pounding their knees and ankles into the ground, you know, it's something really accessible for people of all ages. So.
And what about old fat guys?
Hey, you can definitely try it.
is your rigging sturdy enough?
Our rigging, we've gotten 4 people on one before.
Oh, wow.
You know, so they can hold a couple thousand pounds at any point. So I know a lot of people, when they're starting a class, are like, is this thing going to hold me?
Uh-huh.
And they always do. We can hold a lot of weight. That's part of it. When you're doing drops and things, falling from the ground or falling from the ceiling to the ground, it can put, you know, a couple hundred pounds of force
on
there. So
what's the highest each of you have done a drop from?
22 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're insured up to 30 feet. So
okay.
We can go that high, but it's normally up to, 23, 24 feet.
So yours is more of a portable rigging, correct?
We have both.
You have both. So if you were to go into a place, let's say Denny Sanford,
yep.
Premier Center, you could rig up to the top of that place.
Yep.
Okay.
And we have.
Yeah.
You have. Yeah. Excellent. But you still go 22 feet.
Depending on where our rigging is. Again, insurance only covers
up to
30.
So. One of the things you have to keep in mind in something like that. What's the most important thing that you think someone has to have if they want to come take classes from you?
I think tenacity for me is the biggest thing. With all of us, our first class, we just felt uncomfortable like learning any new skill. You just don't quite understand it. It feels odd. You feel awkward. And with this type of thing, you don't do it as a kid generally.
Right.
So as an adult trying something new, just being able to overcome the awkwardness, trusting your body too, being able to trust your arms to hold you up off the ground is a big thing. So being able to come multiple times, work through those challenges and always, you know, conquering the next challenge as it comes.
Yeah. So, Kayla, is it more important to have upper body strength or leg strength?
Initially, I thought upper body strength, and I did a lot of work to build upper body, but you actually need full body strength to really get into some of these bigger moves. So upper body, lower body, core is a big one that you don't think about. Hip flexors was a big one I never even considered until I started getting further along. But it's really a full body workout.
How many moves are there? And you call them moves, but you know, I know some, you know, like skateboarders call different things stunts, and some will call some things tricks and so forth. But how many different types of moves are there?
Too many to count.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing with aerial too is aerial silks specifically only started as like an apparatus or a sport in the late 90s. So it's something where people are like constantly iterating on the moves that we're doing. New moves are coming out every day that people are learning or creating. It's very similar to dance or really creation of art, because there's infinite possibilities of what you can do.
Well, it's great that, you know, this is something you have to offer, that, you know, people can take the classes and so forth. But the two of you also perform.
Yes.
And are you looking to get more people to perform in your group as well? Or you just kind of, you know, like right now we'll take it this step at a time and so forth. Because I've seen some of the pictures on social media and so forth. And it looks, like I said, you know, to me, because I'm an old circus fan, and the aerials are just the most elegant thing about a circus. And it's so great to see that. And I have seen some prior to you guys being the four to 5 years that you've been in it. I've seen some around town, but not often. And just am so enthralled by it that, you know, I sit there and go, wow, this is an art form. This isn't just somebody's doing some quote unquote tricks. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to you two putting together routines and so forth, how many are you going to have, and what's the typical length of routines that you do then?
So we do two different types of performances. One, and the major one we've been doing lately, is ambient performances. So we would come to a corporate dinner or a happy hour, or we've done a variety of different types of events, and we're performing skills for a long period of time. So between an hour to 2 hours. So we don't choreograph all of it then, but we have a large arsenal of skills that we do, and we'll perform them back to back, switching out a few different aerialists. Right now we have about three of us that are the core performance group. I think over time we would love to grow that, but you need to have that understanding of how to get in and out of things very easily, and also the stamina to be able to perform for that length of time. The other one, it would be more of a routine or a specific performance to music. That takes a while for us to put together, just because you want the musicality to be there, but also all of the skills to flow really well together. So
you mentioned corporate gigs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Are you performing that whole time then?
Yes.
About 2 hours, hour and a half.
You know, you're not taking like 5 minutes off at the top of the hour or anything? Or
take 5 minutes off.
Okay. I was going to say, wow.
But Yeah, I would say though we're performing for the majority of the time, mm-hmm. and then we'll right. generally have about two different silks up, and then have two people performing and one person switching out at any point. So, yeah, it can be a little tiring, but it's fun.
All right, so you've got your rigging that's portable and so forth. When it comes to that, and you mentioned, you know, 22 because your insurance will take up to 30. What's the smallest height a room can be that you can perform in?
The smallest we've done so far is around 11 feet.
Okay.
So we can do shorter, but it makes it very limited for right. what we're able to do. There's other apparatuses as well, other than just the fabrics. So ours have two ends to them, but there's also hammocks, which is a loop. That you can perform mm-hmm. in that's a little bit better for shorter ceilings. And then a lira as well, which is a metal hoop that you can perform on. So we have options. It's not just aerial silks, but right. that's kind of our core.
Well, see, because I got a big birthday party coming up next year. I'm sitting there trying to think, where can we do this? are you getting hired for private things like that too? Birthday parties?
We
as well as corporate stuff?
We haven't done too many yet, but it's something that we would love to do, weddings and birthday parties mm-hmm. and just really be out there as a source of entertainment in the community.
Are you also doing any outdoor festival type things like, Renaissance fairs, anything along that line?
We would definitely love to. We have talked with Downtown Sioux Falls about hopefully getting out more this summer and being at more of the festivals then.
That'd be great. Yeah. And just another added thing. And what's been the response when you do go out and perform?
It's been very positive. People are very excited because it's something new in the community. A lot of people have seen it at the circus or have seen it at Cirque du Soleil or in Vegas or things like that. And they just don't see it here. We're new. Mm-hmm. And they get really excited. Like, oh, this is here. We had no idea.
Right. Yeah. And I like the idea, especially summertime, being able to see you out and about. But, you know, in the meantime, you have any public things coming up currently, or it's mostly corporations and different parties?
Yeah, we've been working mostly with corporations. It's mm-hmm. harder for us to do public type of events in winter just because of the right, ceilings yeah. and things. But we're really hoping in summer to bring our apparatus, you know, to different parks and provide some public entertainment there.
Okay, so you end up kind of entangling yourselves in these silks before you come down. So how long are the silks?
Generally, we have varying lengths. Okay. So just depending on the ceiling, you won't use the same aerial equipment because it will be way too long or way too short. You generally want about 2 feet at the end of it and then whatever the height of the ceiling is.
Okay.
So they're generally measured in meters. A lot of ours are between 26 and 17 meters long.
And based off that, I'm guessing you don't buy them in the United States?
There are some manufacturers. There are some,
but they just still make them in meters then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm also guessing they cost a little bit more than your typical thing that you're going to go find at Joann Fabrics.
Oh, yes. We would not want to buy fabric there. But yeah, I mean, an average silk will cost anywhere between $150 to $300.
So. Not as bad as I thought.
The apparatus itself is a bit more.
That's the big thing. Yeah, the rigging that you have to have along yep. with it. So what did it take for you to say, we're good enough. We could teach us. We could start our own company. What prompted that part?
You want me to go? Okay.
Yeah.
So we have had a few performances with 605 Ninjas specifically.
Mm-hmm.
A few different event planners and companies in town were reaching out to the gym and saying, we know that you guys have these skills. We really want to incorporate this into our events. So we had done 3 to 4 performances there in the gym. The direction they were going is really focused on the classes, on the students, and not necessarily the event space. So it was a nice added bonus if they could do 1 to 2 a year. But the core of their business isn't necessarily events. So mm-hmm. we talked and said, we think that there's an opportunity within Sioux Falls and the greater community to bring this as a consistent art form and entertainment source. So we came together and just started figuring out what it was going to take to get the equipment and make it a business. We knew that we had the skills. We have been teaching this for 2+ years and performing, you know, in showcases and in those corporate events too. But we thought it could be something even bigger.
Kayla, what's your favorite part of this? What do you like to do when you're up there and you're doing the spinning? And is spinning one of the actual words?
Yes.
It is. Yes. I got something right. Okay.
Spinning, and I like drops.
Okay.
So that's where you're doing something and then it looks like you're falling out of the sky and then the silk catches you and everybody's heart just drops as you do it. I really enjoy doing those.
What type of speed do you pick up going down like that?
Depends on what kind of drop you're doing. And some of them are spinning drops, so you're flying in different directions.
And how about you then, Katie? What is your favorite part?
So I really like a lot of the flexibility-based moves. Mm-hmm. So a lot of splits or things that will show your back flexibility, things with interesting angles. So just anything that can catch someone's eye and be like, wow, that must be difficult to do, or impressive just from like a dance perspective.
You mentioned the fact that your classes are 50 minutes. Is there a way that somebody between classes then can practice?
We have open gym time.
Okay.
So we do have 4 open gyms every week that people can come in and work on skills. And we highly recommend coming in and working on those skills. Just if there's something you're struggling with, work on that one and build your confidence in that skill, because that does help out later on.
So with your time that you're spending as a business and as the performance and then also teaching, how much time do you usually give yourselves to practice yourselves?
We've really had to prioritize that a lot more than we did previously, because it's the first thing that we can just put by the wayside. And lately we've been practicing 4 to 5 hours a week outside of our performances, which in themselves are a workout or practice.
2 to 3 hours, people.
Yeah. But with classes, yeah, we're teaching anywhere from probably like 6 to 10 hours a week.
Yep.
Kayla, Katie mentioned that, you know, there are new moves coming out all the time. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular move that you're wanting to get into your repertoire and are practicing on right now?
Yes. So I actually just purchased a new program that I'm working on. It's called Master the Silks. And this program will also give us certification as well. And they have given me a whole lot of things to work on. And right now I'm just on the first module, which is different climbs. And they're difficult climbs and how to get higher up in the silk in more fancy ways. But that's where I'm at right now.
So is climbing a silk like the old gym thing you had to do in school, climbing a rope?
That's one way of doing it.
Okay.
But there are a lot of different ways to get up the silk.
Katie, what's your new move that you might be working on?
So I've been preparing for a competition that we have this next weekend. So we're going to Rapid City with a group from our gym, and similar to a gymnastics competition, there is like a grading rubric and we put together our routine. So I've been working on a hammock routine and an aerial silks routine for that.
All right. Is there like an overall type of, you know, judging as well, or is it just per event?
It's per event. A lot of different aerialists will only specialize in one.
Okay.
So there's not like an all around. That would be interesting though, if they did something like that. But yeah, there's 3 different levels. So I'm competing the advanced level with hopefully only adults. But yeah, it should be fun.
All right. Is this an Olympic sport?
I don't know.
It hasn't been around that long, because it seems like, I was going to say, it seems like every Olympics we're getting new things. And so forth. So I guess I would be surprised not to see it in the Olympics at some point. But in the meantime, you being a gymnast, I suppose that you watch Olympics and Summer Olympics and go, wow, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
And get a little envious from time to time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, that's me when it comes to people that do talk shows and so forth. It's like, man, I wish I could have done that. But I always like to end. Thank you, first of all, both. Appreciate you coming in and talking about this. It's been so fun learning about it. And really, I see this as being a huge opportunity for the two of you being involved in arts and entertainment, because there are so many things that can be added to that could benefit by you being there. And I just, in terms of the entertainment part as well, just the fact that it's fun to watch and it's so graceful and elegant, and I'm a big fan of it, obviously. But one of the things I like to do at the end is find out, when you're not going to be part of the entertainment scene, what do you like to go out and be entertained by? Katie, let's go with you first.
What do I like to be entertained by?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I like a good game of pinball.
Really?
I can. Take me to
you
an
at the
arcade.
Bonus round?
Yeah. I like to go to the one at the West Mall 7. We really got into that
okay.
for a while. And I thought I was getting really good until the guy who had the high score on the pinball machine came and showed me everything about how it worked and how it was done. So you'll catch me doing that. I also like to cook a lot. So I like to make a lot of Indian food, and I can roll some sushi. I've taught Kayla how to roll sushi too. So kind of that unique food, and I'm a bit of a foodie as well. So
oh, good.
Going out, eating yeah. different places, and really enjoy that.
What's your favorite thing to make?
My favorite thing to make
favorite
lately,
dish.
It's been like specialty ramen. So different types.
Not the 39 spicy. Cent ramen.
No. You got to get some hard boiled eggs, some spicy like Thai chili sauce in there, and just really doctor it up with all the toppings.
All right. So Kayla, what about you? If you're not part of the entertainment scene, what do you like to be entertained by?
I like fishing.
Really?
Yes. I like fishing, ice fishing, anything involving fishing. I just got my paddlefish license, which I'm really excited about.
You know, the paddlefish could weigh as much as you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're looking at it for the sport, the big fight?
Yes, I love it. I just got my tag for Lake Francis Case, so I get to do that in May. I did that about 4 years ago, and I caught a 35-pound paddlefish out there.
Wow.
So I'm hoping for another round of that, because that was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Any other hobbies?
Besides that, I like to read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite author?
I like Dan Brown.
Okay.
I just finished all of his books. And then now, right now, I miss the Harry Potter scene, because that was my high school era. So I wasn't reading back then, but now I'm just catching up on Harry Potter.
Okay. Yeah. My daughters, both just, they, every single sentence, I think they have memorized.
Yeah.
All right. Kayla Matthew and Katie Herman, thank you both so much. Circa Perform, and they can find you on Instagram, I know, mm-hmm. under Circa Perform, correct?
Yep.
But what about website and so forth?
Yeah, we have circaperform.com as well. So that has a lot of photos on it and our services, pricing, all that stuff.
Perfect. And that's Circa with a K, the K being for Kayla and Katie. All right. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again, everybody. Certainly appreciate all of you. And thanks to my guests, the wonderful Zach Dresch. And you just heard him again, and you're going to hear him again. You know, three times he shows up this show every week, no matter what. But always great to have a sit down and converse with the man. And he's just he's a great, great young comic, and I love him to death, just as though he were a son. Thank you as well, Kayla Matthew and Katie Herman from Circa Perform. Oh, man, I can't wait to see them in public sometime. But in the meantime, congrats on the fact that you have bookings for corporate events and so forth. Very, very nice to hear that. Of course, thank you to the man who put the R in R Wine Bar and Kitchen, Ricardo Terabelsi. Thank you, because that's where both of those conversations took place
this week. All right, not a lot on my agenda this weekend. I'm sure we'll still hit plenty. The one thing for sure that I am doing is Saturday at 10 a.m., I'm going to be at Dakota Abilities along with artist Edward Ike. He's going to be teaching his spin art to those that are at Dakota Abilities, and I am so looking forward to this. If you recall, Eddie's been on a couple of times, and then also April Van Leersburg, who has Van Art Studio, the gallery, she, at the end of that conversation, when we were talking about a month back, said we need to find some place to have, you know, a nice benefit for a charity of some sort. So Eddie heard that. He took it to heart, and so he's doing that. He contacted me, said, can we get together? And we had an adult beverage the other night, okay, to talk a little bit more about it. But I'm going to be there after 10 a.m. and just having a blast and looking forward to it. In the meantime, thank you once again for everything that you do on social media. The likes for the Dave Holly Hour Facebook page continue to grow. Downloads continue to grow. In fact, next big number is probably going to be 8,000. We had over 100-something this past week again. I love it when those numbers keep going up. Maybe someday, you know, I'll get that 1,000 per week that I need. Yeah, I'm not counting on it, but it's still good for my soul to see those numbers, because it means that every time that one of these shows is downloaded, somebody is interested in Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment, and that is my passion. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.